Bless his holy name. Look in your Bibles to the book of Acts tonight, Acts chapter number 27. And I'm thankful for the good singing. Appreciate you being in the house of God tonight. I do thank the Lord for his goodness to us. And what a blessing church is. We can come in here, get away from the cares of life, and just worship him, hear his voice speak to us through his word. And I'm thankful that he speaks to our heart by his word tonight. The book of Acts chapter number 27, you're able and willing, will you stand tonight? Acts chapter number 27, beginning in verse number 9. Acts chapter 27, verse 9, a very familiar chapter. And I will look at a thought maybe you've not heard, maybe in a while or something, but something God began to stir in my heart in the motel room probably Thursday afternoon. And I will just try to preach to you what God's laid upon my heart for tonight. Acts chapter number 27, verse number 9. The Bible says, "Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means he might attain to Phoenicia and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close by Crete." And then we see in verse 14 and 15, "But not long after they arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight one more time letting us be in your house. Thank you for the good choir singing, the special singing. Lord, I just thank you that I know you, God, and beside you there is none else. Lord, I'm glad I can call you my Father. Lord, as the book of Romans said, I'm glad I can even cry Abba, Father. Papa, Daddy, I thank you for that great privilege to come before you. Lord, I thank you that your ears open to the cry of your children. And I ask you tonight, Lord, you touch us by thy spirit. Enable me. Give me the words I need to say. I give us a traveling mind in the passage of scripture tonight. Lord, I pray, tenderize hearts. I save sinners, help us as your people. And everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Now, I've read, as I said, a familiar passage to you, and we, a lot of times when you hear Acts chapter 27 preached, it is mostly dealing with the storm that these got into here in Acts 27, how some 14 days, no sun, no moon, no stars, darkness, and thunder, and lightning, and wind, and rain, and waves, and the ship is rocked to and fro, and there's a lot of preaching about storms, and ladies and gentlemen, storms do come in our lives, and you're not going to get through this life without facing how many storms. There are those storms that are self-inflicted, as Jonah's was. Jonah got into a storm because he was running from God. Now, this storm wasn't Paul's fault. He is in this storm because of somebody else. Amen. And then you find there's some storms that the disciples faced that was by sovereign divine order. God let them get in that storm to teach them about who he is and his power. And we could preach about those storms tonight, but I'm interested in something that goes on in this chapter, and I'll preach further into the chapter, but I want you to look back at verse 10 and 11 and verse 13 just one, and notice what's being said here. In verse 9 said, Paul admonished them, verse 10, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage, not only the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Then look at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose,
loosen thence they sail close by Crete. We find that Brother Paul warns these people to not set sail. He lets them know if we set sail, we are going to get into trouble. We are headed out for shipwreck. If we leave the port, we're in trouble. But verse 11 said that the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those sayings which were spoken by Paul. I want to preach tonight, the Lord helping me in this passage of Scripture on this subject. You better listen to the preacher. You better listen to the preacher. They got in trouble because they did not heed what Brother Paul said. I promise you it is no different in our day. Men of God preach, whether it's me or somebody else, that we're delivering what God puts in our heart. And it behooves all of us, not just you, but me included, that we would listen to what the men of God say. You know, there's a danger in our day. We're about the shape Israel got in. To a lot of people, they, the preachers, just a lovely song. They know the message. They know the melody. But yet they do not apply what they hear. And we find in the day and hour, many want to turn a deaf ear to old-fashioned preaching. But I'll tell you something. We need preaching now worse than ever before in the history of this world. We need for some men of God with some holy unction and boldness how to cry loud and spare not, lift up their voice like a trumpet and show the people their sin. That's the need of this hour. We have enough psychologists in pulpits. Amen. We've got enough storytellers in pulpits. We need some preachers again. Amen. I'm glad that God's allowed me to be raised under old-fashioned preaching. Men of God that weren't afraid of anybody but God Himself. Amen. Amen. That's the need. Hey, it's not the people we must please. It is the Lord that we must please. Amen. I'm glad for some preachers that I've heard in my life that crossed my path. And I'm glad that I heeded, and when I didn't, I found this principle true. You get in a mess. Amen. Now, I want to say this to you as well. Preaching is not a buffet. Or if you're from up north, a smorgasbord. Amen. You don't pick and choose. And by the way, as a preacher, I don't pick and choose. You remember when you was in school, your teacher gave you an assignment and said, this is what you deal with and nothing else. Well, that's preaching. The Holy Ghost, who is the best tutor and teacher anybody ever had, he'll assign a passage of Scripture. He said, you get in that text and you preach the Word of God out to this congregation. And all I can do, all any other preacher can do, is preach the assignment for that hour. Oh, Brother Paul tried to warn them, but they listened to the owner of the ship instead of the man of God. You know, I find it shocking in our day. People are more interested in somebody's how-to book than the book. Amen. Hey, I'm not talking about reading secular stuff either. It's amazing of the religious how-to books you can find. You go to the average so-called Christian bookstore, and there's very little Bible teaching in those books. A whole lot of them's about being a better you and all this psychology business. Why not just preach the book? Amen. For the Bible is the authority. Amen. And we need preachers who will preach. Now, all preachers aren't the same. I mentioned that during Jubilee. God don't have a cookie cutter. He ain't making broom handles. We all got different deliveries. Some are loud, some are quiet. Some get red-faced, some talk to you. But I'll tell you this, preaching is the need of the day. And it don't matter the delivery mode, preaching is it. Amen. Someone mentioned it back during Jubilee, and I had thought about it years ago as well. Do you understand in the Baptist church, that the pulpit is the center? It ain't off on the side. Other denominations over on the side, they just read a little bit. Talk a little bit and it's over. But the pulpit is the center of attention. This is the place where God thunders out His message out to hearts in the pews. Amen. Oh, friend, I urge you to always heed to the preachers that are declaring you the truth of God. Friend, it'll be well with your soul if you'll do it. Somebody said, preacher, why? Aren't you just a man? I sure am. I'm made out of the same stuff you are. Every other preacher's made out of the same stuff as you are. But the difference is there's a call of God. That's right. That you say as preachers, is the Lord, is he selective? Yes, he is in some things. Amen. Yes, the ground's level, the foot of the cross for salvation. But God does call some men for the purpose of preaching the word of God. A man that would get in a pulpit for an occupation is a nut. I can find a lot better things that would be more enjoyable than preaching. Now, I know that may be shocking, and I love preaching. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of heartache comes with it. There are a lot of burdens, a lot of weights that comes with it. And other jobs, I could get away from some things. Hey, this thing of preaching is a call. Amen. I know God called me to preach. He put that desire in. Paul told Timothy, if a man desires the office of that bishop, he desires a good word. He put a desire in me for preaching. Amen. I like this, and it's been said by a lot of preachers. There's two kinds of preachers make me want to preach, them that can and them that can't. Amen. Why? There is a call in my heart in preaching the word of God. I'm not an entertainer. I'm not a puppet. Amen. I'm not here to sway you in the energy of the flesh, but I'm called of God to declare the truth in the word of God tonight. Oh, friend, somebody said, well, preacher, if you're just a man, and yes, you got to go, why should we listen to preacher? There's three things in this text. Number one, y'all listen to preacher, number one, because he has a word from the Lord. Amen. The man of God ain't preaching his opinion. I wouldn't give you 50 cents for my opinion or any other preacher's. Amen. I wouldn't give you a dime for yours. Amen. Because we've all got opinions and half time they can't all be right. Amen. Oh, but when we preach the word, you see, when I, this week it's out my mind, though I was preaching at a mission school, though I was involved in that mission school, my heart in the afternoons would race here to Gateway, and the Holy Ghost said, preaching time's coming soon. You preach Sunday morning, preach Sunday night, and God began stirring the scriptures in my heart, and he said, here's the word for Gateway for that day. I preach to you what God gave me this morning. And tonight, this is the assignment for this service. You see, the man of God's got a word from the Lord. This is the word. Amen. There ain't a doubt in my mind that this is God's word. I don't need a new version. This old King James Bible, it's the authority. It is for the English-speaking world. It is the word of God. Amen. Hey, somebody said, preacher, do you have a copy of the original? Sure does right there. Amen. Because you see, the originals are equal to that book. If they ain't, we in trouble. Amen. But this Bible, hey, this is what was spoke to those men. And they was moved by the Holy Ghost and wrote it down. And that's the word I declare to you today. Amen. You see, I learned this. I say in the text of Scripture, I never have to apologize for anything I preach. If you get upset, you got to get upset with the author. Amen. All I am is a messenger boy. That's it. You don't beat your mailman up, do you? Huh? When he brings you all them bills, you run up. Amen. Your credit cards, your cable and your satellite bill and your internet bill. You don't beat him up for bringing your bill, do you? Well, of course not. But I tell you what, folks get mad at preachers, and preachers didn't make you do nothing you done all week. Amen. You made some choices, good or bad, you made them. And then the Holy Ghost was present. He took note of it, wrote her down. And then he whispered in the ear of the Holy, in the spirit, in the preacher's ear, and said, preach on that text come Sunday. Amen. I told you months ago, I ain't following you around. I ain't got enough time. Amen. I'm not a busybody either. I don't try to find nothing out about you. If you tell me, that's the way I'm going to find out. Amen. Because I just learned this. I'm just going to try to have an ear for the Holy Ghost. And what he says is what I'll preach. And we'll let the pieces fall where they may. We'll just stand on the Word of God. Hey, and it behooves you to listen. Why, I'm giving you a word from the Lord. You say, preacher, is that it? Oh, yeah, look down in verse 21. Through verse number 26, we see Paul had a word for this crowd. Now, they didn't listen to him. They set sail. Oh, verse 13, let me hit this just a minute. The Bible said in that verse, a south wind blew softly. And supposing, boy, you will get in trouble, supposing. Amen. I think. Yeah. They thought, well, can you hear this crowd on this ship with Paul? Boy, the sun's a shining. There's a good breeze. They said, boy, this is it. It's now or never. They throw up the sail, pull up the anchor. They set sail. I can imagine them. I can imagine them. Paul. You said we're going to be in trouble if we said, look at us. Oh, the water's great. The breeze is wonderful. Oh, Brother Paul, you missed it on that one. But it wasn't long. Verse 15 said, there's a tempestuous wind began to blow, and some 14 days they're in a mess because they didn't hear. Well, when you get to verse 21, they've been in the storm. The Bible said, but after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, listen to this word from the Lord. Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. If you want this plain, good old country vernacular, I told you so. That's what he said. I told you. Amen. Then verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night, I like this, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Brother Paul said, after being absent from them, he said, I've got a word from the Lord. He said, we're going to have to just ride her out, but it's going to be fine. The Lord's going to protect us. Amen. Hey, you know what? I'll be real honest with you, they probably were encouraged some by that statement. But I'd say someone said, but yeah, but the storm's still raging. Amen. But it was a word to hang on to from the Lord. He said, be of good cheer. Hey, that's my job. Tell you, it's gonna that the Lord's got it figured out and it's worked out. And this thing's running on schedule tonight. Amen. We find that, oh, Brother Paul had a word from the Lord. God will always have a messenger. Amen. Sometimes I have to watch myself as sure as everybody else. With these being the last days, there's been periods of times as I look back over my ministry where there's a lot of young men and older men surrendering to preach, and then you go through a cycle where nobody looks like getting called to preach, and maybe those that are beginning to preach don't have any unction on them. They don't preach the Bible. They're just storytellers and other things. And you get wondering, man, what are we going to do when the old-time preachers die? But can I say this tonight? God will always have a voice crying out in the wilderness of this world. Don't you ever fret that there will be a day there won't be a preacher. There'll be a preacher till the trumpet sounds. Amen. And when that takes place, God will have 144,000 virgin male at Jewish preachers that'll begin preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and two witnesses coming on the scene, and they'll preach to a generation in the tribulation period. God will always have a messenger. Amen. And let me say this, God will send his message through his man. I've not heard this since I've been here. I hope I never have hear anybody say this, but it is not anybody in the pew's job to correct anybody else in this building. Amen. God ain't never nudged you to get up and wreck a church over the coals, not one time. Amen. If there's any preaching, if there's reproving, rebuking, exhorting, all long-suffering doctrine, it'll come from the pulpit. Amen. God didn't raise an old soldier up on that ship. There's a man of God that got aboard that ship and he got along with God, and God said, this is the message. Go tell that crowd that they got themselves in a storm, but I'm going to make sure nobody dies. Amen. You see, you better let's preach, because he's got a word from the Lord. Now, it may not be a whole message. You hear me? It could be just the passage of scripture he reads that God will ignite a fire in your heart. It may be while he's praying. Amen. It may be a point in the message. It may be a statement in the message. It could be the whole message. But God's got a word for you tonight. And somebody said, boy, preacher, that's charismatic talk. I'm not letting that crowd rob me of nothing. They ain't going to take my shout. They're not going to take away me saying I've got a word from God. Amen. Because I do. One old mountain preacher used to sing, he get to preaching, I've got a letter from my Father. It is grand, it is grand. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm just a messenger boy, and God's got a message tonight. You better listen to the preacher. Amen. You better listen why he has a word from the Lord. Hey, be careful getting mad at the preacher. Amen. You're getting it really and truly. I promise you this, a lot of the time when you got a God-called, God-anointed man, he ain't a slave driver, but he'll preach truth. Amen. And if you get mad, you're getting mad at the Lord. Amen. Hey, I want to be a Bible preacher. That's been my goal my whole ministry. That's where I plan on finishing up. Amen. I've got a word from the Lord. Hey, you better listen to preacher number two, because he's got a warning from the Lord. Amen. Look down to verse 30 through 32. Now they're in the storm. He's told them they're going to be all right. But when they get to verse 30, here's what the Bible said. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. What's going on? He's got a warning to them. They is beginning to get afraid. Here, the storm's still raging. Yeah, God sent a word, but they're not trusting the word. They're still scared. They're still trying to do what they want to do. They're going to get in the lifeboats and get away. But God sent a warning and said, hey, except you abide with the ship. Amen. Can I help you right here? When a storm comes in your life, don't quit church. You're not going to get help sitting at the house. Amen. Hey, listen to me. All that's going to happen if you lay out of church is going to get worse. It's guaranteed to get worse. Amen. Matter of fact, your fellowship's going to wind up getting broke, because the one that sent the word and sent the warning, he said, don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. Amen. Hey, what's that mean, preacher? We need church. We need each other. We need preaching. Paul gave them a warning. Except these abide in the ship. Hey, don't jump ship. We're in the day they're doing a whole lot of it. Amen. Hey, listen. Think about something just a minute. Until the Lord told them to swim the shore, they better stay in that ship. Because you imagine being in a little bit of lifeboat. Hey, listen, this bigger ship, they done put the helps on. They've lowered those cables down. The hooks have grabbed, holding that vessel together. They're already doing all they can. You imagine leaving the safety of that ship for a little bitty boat? You know, you and I tonight would say, that's foolish, wouldn't we? Well, let me ask you this. Why do we do it spiritually? Amen. We need to abide with the ship. Stay where God put you. Do what God told you. Hey, God sends a warning and you better listen to it. Amen. I've seen moms and dads talk about wanting their sons and their daughters to get saved. And boy, they'll weep and pray and beg everybody in the church to pray, and then they get saved. And that young person begins to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and they get on fire. And they begin to tell that kid, now be careful that you don't go overboard. I'm going to tell you what you're really saying. You're about to pass me up. Amen. Oh, yeah. And they began to say, you can't go up there to all the youth meetings. And, boy, that preacher's driving you crazy. And you're going to become a fanatic. Huh? That's right. But you won't know what's happening. Them young folk are hearing the word of God. They're hearing the warning of God. And they're listening to what the man of God's saying. Hey, it do us all well to listen and to obey and apply the word of God tonight. Oh, friend, you and I, hey, we need to understand this Bible's full of thou shalt and thou shalt nots. You know this. We're in the day nobody wants any rules on them. Do you know why some of the forerunners in these primaries are doing so good? They're just spouting their mouth off and they're telling what everybody wishes somebody had said a long time ago. That's right. The whole time, they don't want rules on them, and they ain't going to put rules on nobody else. But this Bible puts some rules out. This Bible says this is the way, walk in it, and that's the way you better walk. Amen. Hey, if you get out of the Scripture and begin to veer your own way, you're going to wind up in a mess. Amen. Oh, I tell you, the preacher, we need to listen because he's got a word from the Lord. He's got a warning from the Lord. I'm going to move on. I'm going to say this. There's a group, Greater Vision's got a song that I like. It ain't a newer song, but it's just been recently they put it out, though. I like it. Preacher, tell it like it is. That's the kind of preaching I want. Don't sugarcoat it. Tell it like it is. Amen. I'm going to ask you something. If all you got physically was sugar all the time, what happened to you? Huh? For some that already it's in you anyhow, you're going to go in a diabetic coma. Rest of you is going to get you so wired up, you're going to flip your lid. Amen. But you know what? We're seeing it in the church. Spiritual sugar. Just talking about how good it is and how you know, it's just meter by meter, life's going to grow sweeter. Amen. I'm all for exhorting, but there's a time you must preach where the rubber meets the road. Amen. And friend, if all you got was that glory stuff, that all that so-called good stuff, why, you wouldn't be fit for nothing. You know what causes us to want to live right? The preaching that book. Those thou shalt and thou shalt not. That's what's helping us. Amen. Hey, I'm not going to preach nothing in the Bible. That's right. My standards, my conviction, they come from this book. Amen. And friend, there's some warnings coming. It do us well to listen to the preacher. Not only he has a word from the Lord and he's got a warning from the Lord. Let me say number three, he has wisdom from the Lord. Look at verse 10 again. Here's what he said. Sirs, I perceive this voyage would be with hurt and much damage, not only of the land and ship, but also of our lives. Then you skip down to verse 31. Look at this. Paul said to the centurion to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Verse 33, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. And then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Paul gave them some wisdom. Amen. They ain't been eating nothing. He said, you better get something in you, boys. You see, Paul already knows we're about to shipwreck. They ain't far away. That ship's going to run where two seas meet, and it's going to run into some rocks, going to stick. The hinder part of that ship's going to break up, and they're going to have to swim for land. I'm going to tell you something. You're better off if you got some strength from some food. Amen. He has given them some wisdom. I'm going to tell you something. Preaching will give you some wisdom. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this, and hear me now. There are some things I may warn you about that's nothing more than a weight. It's not sin, it's a weight. There's a difference. A weight will slow you down. It ain't necessarily going to cause you to sin, but it's not helping you run very well either. But there are things that are just flat out sin. Amen. And wisdom comes by listening. Amen. You learn more by listening than talking. Have you ever taught somebody that they won't do all the talking? I'll be real honest. I can handle it for a few minutes. But after a minute, I'm going to promise you this. I'm going to find for a way to get out. Amen. If all they want to do is talk, that's great. But I ain't got all day sometimes. Amen. That's right. If you want to learn, listen. These preachers, when my pastor passed away the day, and matter of fact, another man ordained me. He died the week before Jubilee, and I was sick with my blood pressure and all, couldn't even go to his funeral. And those men are praying. You know what those men did? They pulled me up to them. They talked to me. And I had enough sense to shut up and listen. Amen. You'd be amazed what some of these older folk, young folk, will teach you if you'll shut up and listen. Amen. You don't have to talk all the time. You don't have to know everything, because you don't know everything. And adults, you don't know everything. Amen. We learn by listening. Amen. Some people observe, I don't do a lot of talking. You come talk to me, I do a lot of listening. I'm trying to just see what all you've got to say, and then I ask God to give me a word of wisdom for you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When Solomon took the throne after the death of David, what did he ask God for? He wanted some wisdom. He needed help from God. He knew he couldn't do it by himself. I'm going to tell you, friend, I can't do nothing. By myself, I'll fall flat on my face. I'm going to say this. I want to share this with you. I've been praying since I've been here 8 months as pastor. The first morning, right after preacher handed me that Bible and passed the torch, and I came in on Monday morning. I sat down in the office, and when I got down to pray and was talking to the Lord, and then got and I sat down in that chair, and here's the next things hit my mind. Now what you going to do, big boy? And I thought myself, I ain't got a clue. And I went back down on the floor again. And I said, God, I need some wisdom. I need your help. I need you to direct me and guide me and tell me what I need to tell that congregation every time I stand to preach. Amen. I ain't got no special formulas. I've not got a new secret of any kind. All I've got's an old message. This is it. And I promise you, it's worked in days gone by. It is still working tonight. And it'll work tomorrow, next month, and next year. This word will get the job done. Amen. What we got to do, preacher? Listen to the preacher. I know I'm fallible. I know that. I know I'm a man. But when I'm giving you this book, you better perk your ears up. I like to point things out when I'm preaching something. You ever know sometimes God just says something one time? That's serious. God said one time, we ought to tell. But boys, if he says something over and over again, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out you better really pay attention to what's being said. Amen? Hey, have you ever noticed in the situation where he calls somebody's name twice, Abraham, Abraham, calls, he does all different ones like that through Scripture. Have you know, man, he's wanting their full attention. Amen. In Bible days, most of them didn't have but one name. In our day, we got full names. And your parent wants your attention, what they do? Mine called my whole name out. I knew right then it's time to shut up and listen up. Or the next time I will be standing up and can't sit down. Amen. Oh, yeah. Why? It behooves us to listen. We need the Word of God. That's why we major on Bible preaching and Bible teaching here at Gateway. That's what the church has been founded on, and by the grace of God, that's how we'll continue until Jesus comes. Because this preaching's the most important thing. We're going to have some good service where we shout it out. I don't doubt that in the least. We've done had some of them. I like them. Amen. Now, sometimes our visitors don't know what to do with us. They get that deer in headlight look, but if they'll come back, they'll find that they like it. Amen. But you notice this, there's more preaching service than those real high shouted out services. Have you noticed that? It's because we got to be grounded and growing, and that comes by this book. Them shouts, that's that time God just gives you a little handful of purpose. hey, it's all right. I'm giving you an extra blessing right now. Amen. And let me share this with you. Have you ever noticed? You ever paid attention? Here's your good time to be listening. Do you ever notice, whether it's me or it was back in Preacher Stewart or in a meeting, if a preacher preached one of them rubber meat in the road messages, preached against everything that breathed and moved, did you notice when folk responded, would go to the altar and they wouldn't blow up like a bullfrog and they didn't get mad? Did you notice the next service how wonderful it was? You ever notice that's them service that gets so high? You ever pay attention to that? Next time, watch for that. And I can tell you this, if it goes the other way when they're preaching it, you do blow up like a bullfrog, you do throw on the emergency brake, son, that next one will be tighter than a banjo string. Amen. That's right. What we do with the preaching matters much. Amen. I want us to always be a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing Baptist church. That's the will of God. That's pleasing to God. Amen. Hey, let's be careful that we listen to the preaching. Amen. From the Word of God. Father, take the message, use it for thy glory. I've tried my best to deliver, Lord, the passage and the message, God, you told me to tonight. Lord, help us in hiding the Word of God in our heart. Help us to be doers and not forgetful hearers. Lord, I thank you for the folk here at Gateway and their love for the Word of God. Lord, it's evident, and I do thank you for it. Lord, help us to always to bring you glory, to do your will, do your bidding. And Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach to you the message God stirred in my soul a few days ago. And I believe I preached in the will of God, just showing you from Scripture what went on. With these that got aboard that ship, they didn't listen, and they got into trouble. You'll always get in trouble by not listening to what God has to say. I wonder tonight, is there someone here would say, preacher, pray for me, I'm lost. Not really preach to lost folk, but God's been dealing your heart throughout the day, and you'd be on, preacher, I'm lost, pray for me. Anybody in the building? Amen, I see that little hand. Somebody else, preacher, I'm lost. I see these little hands. I'm not going to go out with full strong invitation, but I want you to stand. This altar's open. Maybe you need to come. Maybe God spoke to your heart and you've been a little slow about obeying and doing. Maybe God's wanting to help you, not your burden about something. God has got something for you tonight if you'll come get it from Him. While we sing, the altar's open. Amen. Anybody else has come?
Fervently pray, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all of the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed.
Oh, that's right.
And have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the